What's for dinner? Talking about whatever on their minds. Talking about whatever on their minds. Hey, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking about whatever on my mind. Welcome to another car edition of What's for Dinner, the show that begs the question, hey, what's for dinner? Hope you guys are doing really well. I am, I am in my car once again, driving back to Los Angeles from Scottsdale, Arizona, where I was working this past weekend at the Comedy Spot. Much love to everyone who came out to the show, and to the great staff and everybody at the Comedy Spot. It was a fun weekend. I'll be honest with you guys. I had been doing the podcast already for about 20 minutes, and then I realized I never hit the record button. So if I start this one a little like, ugh, it's because I'm trying to remember all the stuff that I already talked about. I am driving back now in, I'm now pretty much out of Scottsdale. I am on a two-lane highway, the 10, heading west, surrounded by desert and mountains. Quite beautiful. Don't really have this in Florida. Actually, don't have this period in Florida. Florida was a fun place to grow up, I'll tell you that. I say that because very close to Disney World. And my whole family, when I say whole family, I mean all my grandparents, all my aunts, uncles, cousins, we all lived within a 30-minute drive from each other. So I grew up with my entire family down there. Very lucky. But as far as geography and scenery goes, incredibly boring. Florida is flat, swampy, and humid. So driving through this desert surrounded by mountains is quite beautiful. I guess I'm used to it now. I've been out here almost 13 years. So it's funny whenever somebody from Florida comes out and visits and they see this, they're like, oh my God, mountains. And that's my mother. She's a surfer. So, like I said, Scottsdale was fun. You know, it's funny, I bring this podcast equipment with me, and I've gotten very good at doing it. Some of you might go, Flip, it's not very safe doing the podcast while you're driving. I've kind of figured out how to do it, kids, so I'm confident. But anyway, I usually bring, like, the basic equipment with me, a couple of microphones and my recorder, when I go on the road, in case I'm working with somebody that I think would be a fun interview, like I did with Keith Fields in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Or if I'm working in town and a buddy of mine happens to be in town, you know, I bring this in case they'd want to do a podcast. Oh, shit, you know what I just realized? A friend of mine, Ty Rivera, is in Scottsdale, and we had talked about meeting up for a bite, and we both completely dropped the ball on that. Ty, if you happen to be listening to this, very sorry we didn't meet up, but another time. I did, however, bump into a comic that was working at another club named Dan Cummings, who I'd worked with years ago at the South Beach Comedy Festival. And it's funny, Dan and I, we went out for lunch and coffee, and we're having this great conversation. I suddenly go, motherfucker, I should have brought the podcast equipment because this would have been great. But Dan did agree to do a podcast sometime in December, so we will we'll do that then. Look for that podcast then. He was a very, very funny guy. There are some really good funny comics out there that you guys, I'm not even sure if you're aware of. Go to your local comedy club, you know. Support your local comics. Because every great comic starts as a shitty comic. Let's be honest. Nobody ever gets on that stage completely brilliant. You know, nobody ever gets on a comedy or any stage. No musician ever picks up a guitar for the first time and can do Stairway to Heaven. No dancer gets, you know, puts on a leotard and suddenly they can do the Swan Lake. You know, the thing is, like, dancers and musicians, they could, you know, dancer can look in the mirror or have somebody watch them and, you know, or take classes and somebody go, that is not good, that is good. A singer can, you know, learn a guitar and hear if it sounds right or not. comedian does not know if they're funny or not until they're in front of an audience. You know? The caveat of being a comedian is, like, I have written some jokes that I thought were brilliant. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so funny. And then I try it on stage. Nothing. Death. You know? Because you guys are the ones that let us know. So, go support your local comics. Even if they suck, don't boo them. Just give them an honest, you know, your honest opinion, which is laughter or no laughter. But you also get some really great professional comics coming to most clubs who are really good road comics, you know, just trying to eke out a living, and they need a good audience. And this week were fairly good audiences. I was a little disappointed in myself on Saturday. First show, it was packed, and I really didn't... If anybody knows my analogy, I didn't get them on the chain. You know, I didn't really keep them with me the whole time. I've got to listen back to that show and see what might have happened. I think I know what I did wrong, but that's the thing, you can never tell. That's what I love about this job. It's a constant learning process, you know? No matter how good you are, how long you've been doing it, you still learn. You still figure things out. And it's a very, very fun experience. Actually, had something interesting. Had something happen to me on Saturday at this specific show that, man, it just put things, I don't want to say in perspective, but it made me really stop my life for a second and go, holy shit, I'm old. Like, this year has been the year of me just kind of accepting my age. You know, because, like, I'll tell you what happened. Before the show, I'm sitting at a table, and this guy comes up to me. And I recognized him because I saw on Facebook this guy had posted something like, going to see Flip Schultz tonight. And I looked at his picture, and he didn't look familiar. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe it's just a fan or somebody I knew, I went to high school with or something. So this guy comes up to me, and I recognize him from Facebook, and I couldn't quite remember his name, so I go, Dave? And he goes, no, Brian. I go, oh, I'm sorry, man. He proceeds to tell me that, well, I'll give you a little background real quick. When I was younger, I was in a Jewish youth group called Kedima. Kedima is basically like a Jewish youth group from kids to elementary school to grade 8. And then after you go into high school in grade 9, if you want to continue, go into an older youth group called USY, which is United Synagogue Youth. After I graduated high school, I went back and I was a counselor, a youth advisor for Kedima for 1 year. So this guy comes up to me and he goes, you were my counselor in Kedima. And my jaw dropped. Because here he is now, a guy in his mid-30s, here with his wife, and he used to be a kid that I was a youth advisor for. And man, you know, time just hit me like, holy shit, this is real. I'm really old now. Not really old, but for real, I'm older. You know, I'm not that kid anymore. See, that's the thing about this job. My job is having fun. My job is being silly. It's making people laugh. It's, like I said, it's being a silly, fun guy, which is what I've always been since I was a kid. Since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a comedian. And, you know, oh, Flip, you're such a comedian, because it made people laugh. So I've always had that, like label on me. You're a comedian, you're funny, blah, blah, blah. And I took that, and I parlayed it into a career. But I never had a break. I never had that, real job time, you know, where, like, a lot of comedians don't start doing comedy until they're in their mid to late 20s sometimes. because they, you know, they went to school and they had a quote unquote real job and they had all these responsibilities. And then they said, you know what, I've really just wanted to try this. And some of them try it and they make a career out of it. I never had that. You know, I had like little odd jobs while I was in high school, but I never had an office job. I know it's lucky. I never had to do any of that. So I've been mentally in the state of arrested development, because since I was like 23, all I've ever done is perform for my living. I've made my money, made my livelihood doing comedy, doing acting, you know, whatever. So I've still kind of had this like 21, 22-year-old mentality, you know? And then, like I said, this year, not just seeing this kid who's now a grown man who's married, I look in the mirror and my hair is thinning and it's really gray and my fucking body is kind of... my knees! Anybody listening who happens to be in their late teens, early 20s, even mid-20s, take care of your knees. Like, I'm not even 40 yet, and I've had bad knees since I was a kid, but they are really fucking me up now. Like, even on stage, I've always been invincible on stage, you know? I remember one time I was doing a show somewhere in northern Florida, and I drove all day, and I remember I was feeling like such shit. I was sneezing, I was congested, I was lethargic, I had a migraine. You know, I definitely was sick, but I had to do a show. And within 5 minutes of being up on stage, that adrenaline hit, and I was fine. Didn't even remember I was sick. And now, man, like I said, with my knees, like, I do some bits where I kind of have to hunch down a little bit, and I'm feeling pain in my knees, and I'm like, motherfucker, I'm getting old. I can't deny it anymore. It's just this awful reality check, you know? I mean, everybody, we all get old, I know, it's just, I don't know, I not that I ever thought I was immune to it, I don't know, it's just, I thought I could get by. I thought, you know, maybe, yeah, I might get, my skin might get a little wrinkly, my hair will get gray, but, I won't be in pain, I won't have any body parts in pain. But what am I bitching about, really? I got some knee pain. I went to physical therapy this year for my knees. Right, it happens. Right. I can't be that naive. Nobody can. Nobody can be that naive to think we're invincible. I'm not, you know? I really have nothing to complain about. I'm very lucky. I am. You know? Like I said, since I was 23, this is all I've done. Yeah, you know, like a lot of people will, not a lot of people, sometimes I complain like, oh man, I'm not famous, or why is that guy and not me, and blah, 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 blah. And you know, the thing is, I can't. I had this epiphany very recently where I realized, like, you know what? When I go to sleep at night, I'm lying next to the woman that I love in an apartment, yeah, but an apartment that I pay for with comedy. Driving a car I've paid for with comedy. You know, eating food, putting on clothes that I pay for with comedy. And again, yeah, I might not have as much money or be at this level of success that I want to be at, but at the end of the day, I'm happy. You know, I hope you guys, if you're listening, have something that in your life that makes you happy, that makes you just go, you know what, it's good, it's all right. You know, whether it's your job or a hobby or your kids, something real that makes you happy. You know, stuff doesn't make me happy. A lot of times I think stuff will. But it really doesn't. You know, stuff is just stuff. You know, some stuff is fun. I won't lie. Like, this little podcast thing. You know, it's stuff. But it's fun. But at the end of the day, at the end of the life, when I'm on my deathbed, and I know this is cliche, but I'm not going to think about, like, oh, I had this much money, and, oh, look at all that stuff that I had that means nothing to me right now in a frail body lying in a bed. You know what I'm going to have? The only thing that I am going to have, that any of us are going to have when we're on our deathbed or when we're faced with death, is experiences, connections, memories. Like, our brain is so fucking amazing. Our brain, we remember things. You know, how powerful is that, our brain? I still remember something when I was fucking 3 years old. That's over 35 years ago. I remember something. A memory that's locked in my brain forever. That's what I'm going to have when I die. I'm going to have the memories of people. I'm going to be thinking about my wife, my niece, my family. I'm going to be thinking about all the things that I was able to do. You know, like some of the amazing performances I've had and some of the places I've been. You know, the friends I've made, the laughs I've had, the cries I've had, all of that. That's what we're going to have. And at the end of the day, I have that in spades. And yeah, again, another great thing about this job is I'm always pushing myself. It's never over, you know? I'm going to hit that next level, that level I've dreamed about. I have no doubt. You know, I wanted it to happen earlier. As I'm sure everybody does, we're all very impatient. But you know what? It didn't happen. There is literally nothing I could do about that. All I could do is just focus ahead. Focus on what will be, not what could have been. You know? Easier said than done at times. I'm aware of that. Just got to remember that. There is nothing you can do about what could have been. All you can do is make things that will be. That's a little weird wording, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Man, these solo podcasts get so fucking deep. Yeah, but this is what I do when I'm alone. Trust me, if this microphone wasn't here, I'd probably still be talking to myself like this. How are we doing on gas? Oh, good. Another 325 miles before I'm home. That's another little over 4.5 hours. Yep. That's the life of a road comic. I'm trying to think. The longest I ever drove... Well, when I moved from Florida to L.A., I drove with my buddy who I met in USY. My buddy Adam. Who has two sons, one of which is a couple of years away from being the age that Adam was when I met him. Mind fuck! But yeah, Adam drove with me out. It took about, I think, 3 or 4 days to drive from Florida to L.A. So that was probably the longest driving trip that I've had. But for comedy, I think the longest I ever drove for comedy was from Fort Lauderdale to Nashville. That was a long ride. I think I spent the night in Gainesville at my brother's house. Is that right? Did I do that? Or did I drive... Was Nashville part of like a... No, I think Nashville was part of a road tour. But whatever, I still drove from Lauderdale to Nashville. That was probably the longest drive that I did. Did a lot of talking to myself, a lot of listening to music. God bless you, iPods and podcasts. It's funny, I'm doing a podcast that while I'm driving, and you might be listening to this while you're driving. So it's almost like I'm doing it live just for you. If you're in your car driving right now, this is like happening right now. I'm right next to you in the car, or I'm in a car right behind you. Look in your rearview mirror. That's me. I'm not going to wave. And if I'm a woman or if I'm a black man, it's only because I'm incognito. Ha ha ha! Oh, this is fun. Yeah, this really is beautiful scenery out here. You ever think about, you ever like drive on open road in the middle of nowhere, you know, wherever you might be, and you know, out of the city, just nowhere, whether a desert or just like fields or whatever, and then you just think about, fuck, 120 years ago when there was no road, there were no lights on the highway. It was just land, and people still made their way across it. Like, I'm driving across this desert, going west, pretty much direct route west, and you know that, like I said, 120 years ago, there were people, horse and buggy, coming out west, looking for gold and future, and they're trekking along on nothing but rough terrain, over mountains, dealing with whatever wild animals, and it's hard to imagine, isn't it? Unless you actually have done that, which I never have. You know, I am definitely a product of, you know, a technological world. You know, the one thing that I can say, like, this is another thing that shows my age, is that I remember life before the internet, life before computers, as far as when everyone had one, life before CDs. I remember buying cassettes, you know, and having a Walkman and thinking that was the coolest fucking thing in the world. You know, imagine a kid today taking away their iPod and giving them a Walkman and a bunch of cassettes and going, here, have fun. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? Wait, so I've got to actually fast forward a song if I don't like it? Wait, hold on. I only get like one album and then I can't even listen to the whole thing. I've got to take it out and flip it? Even though there was automatic flipping, which again, brilliant technological advancement for cassettes, I remember when you had to take it out and flip it manually. Yeah, kids today, fucking cell phones. I remember life before cell phones. I had a rotary dial phone in my bedroom. When I was a kid growing up, you know, the fact that I had a phone in my bedroom was pretty badass. You know, I didn't have to be out in the living room or the kitchen to talk to my friends. I could just dial them up from my own phone. But I had a rotary. Guarantee you, most kids today don't know what a rotary phone is. If you don't know what it is, kids, Google it, and your mind will be fucking blown. And that's what I had when I was a kid. I had a rotary phone, man. Couldn't even imagine a cell phone. I mean, I was probably already 18 or 19 before I had a pager. A pager! And that, I thought, was the coolest thing. I mean, it's hard for anyone to really, any kid today to imagine, and it's hard for a lot of us to remember life before a cell phone. When, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, good luck. You know, try calling you at home. If you don't answer, tough luck. You know, and even before answering machines. Like, I remember when I was a kid, my parents got an answering machine, and I was, maybe about 10, so I was still kind of young, so answering machines, like, it's hard to remember before that, but if somebody didn't have an answering machine, you know, and let's say you were taking a dump, and the phone's ringing, like, oh, and then you finish, and the phone stopped ringing, and then you don't know who called, they don't leave a message, there's no voicemail, and if you didn't have an answering machine, oh well. now, fuck, somebody wants to get a hold of you, they just dial it and it goes right to your pocket, right to the small little device that you keep in your pocket that not only is a phone, it plays all your music, it plays movies, it connects to this invisible world. That's what the internet is. It's a completely different world. It is a virtual world. It is virtual reality. Like, again, I remember when virtual reality was this concept where you'd put on a mask, like goggles or something, and have these gloves on, and then you'd see this, you know, this, like, virtual world that you could, like, move around in. It was very... I remember I went to, like, a... I forgot. It was some kind of, like... it was like a Dave and Buster's kind of place, like with a lot of video games. And one of the things was this virtual reality thing where, you know, I put on these goggles and these gloves and, you know, I moved my head around. And, yeah, it was like I was looking at this, like, virtual world. But like I said, it was very blocky. It was not high def in any way, shape, or form. And I could still kind of see through the goggles, like, the outside world. So I really didn't lose myself into it. But the internet, man, that has become the virtual world. You know, yeah, we don't immerse ourselves in it yet, but think about it. Who are we online? We're whoever we want to be, you know, and it's a dangerous thing because you have, predators and swindlers and people catfishing, but it also is... can also be exciting because, you know, I'm in the virtual world. I am this confident Lothario guy. I'm not saying me personally. I'm saying you could be. Whatever. You could be whatever you want to be in this virtual world, you know? You don't even have to use your real name. Funny, though. In the virtual world, I'm pretty much who I am in the real world. I'm Flip, you know? I just have... just in the virtual world, you can think a little more about what you say. I think a lot of people should think a little bit more about what they say because some people say some stupid shit out there on the virtual world. But try to explain the internet to somebody, again, 100 years ago. Just like sit them down and go, okay, listen, in a very short amount of time, 100 years, might not be in your lifetime, but in the scheme of things, that's like a blink of an eye. Let's be realistic. 70% of the population of this planet is going to be connected through a box. Call it a magic box. And with this magic box, you can communicate with anyone around the world just by pushing one button. And you can see pictures of them, photographs in color. You could see moving pictures of them. You could talk to them and see them at the same time. Through this magic box, if, you know, like, I had relatives. Like, I'm sure, I know I had immigrant relatives from Germany and Russia. Imagine me telling them, oh, you don't have to write a letter to your family where they'll receive it in maybe a month, and they'll write you back, and you'll hear back from them in maybe a month. You can literally push a button and speak to them live and see them as you're talking to them instantly in Russia right now. It would blow their mind. It also makes you think about what's going to be possible. I'll tell you exactly. I'm predicting this right now. On this very podcast, I'm predicting within my lifetime, there will be holographic video chats. You know, not just seeing the person on the screen. We will be projected in a three-dimensional holograph. It'll start out very primitive, very blocky. It's going to be expensive. Only the rich can do it. It's like how Google Glass is coming out now. You know, the glasses that's like a phone and a video thing or whatever. It'll be holograph. Like I said, it'll start out primitive and expensive, and over 10 years or so, it'll become standard. You know, the same way... I remember the first time I saw a video chat on somebody's phone. I'll tell you exactly when it was that I saw a video chat on somebody's phone. It was when I was in Sweden in 2007. They already had that technology. It was very blocky, but it was still cool. And I'm like, this is fucking insane. That was 2007. It is 2013 now. And I got my iPhone. I have an iPhone 4. I got it maybe 2 years ago. So by 2011, only 4 years, when I first saw it, it was already standard going into phones and iPads. So I guarantee you, holographic projection video chats will happen within my lifetime, and it'll be a standard thing. You know, and what else? I don't know if beaming, like Star Trek, I don't know if that'll happen, because that's some ethical, biological shit, because I assume when you beam, it's like that movie Timeline. Not sure if you ever saw it. Pretty decent movie. Basically, it's the same thing. They talk about time travel, and at one point, a guy was too scared to do it because he said, like, what literally happens is your body breaks down to beyond a microscopic level, and for a second, you don't even exist because all of your molecules have dispersed, and then they come back together. So I'd assume beaming is that same process, and that to me, it's just, like I said, sounds a little too ethical, or has questions about ethics and, you know, like, just a biological thing. But space travel, I can guarantee, if we don't destroy ourselves, that'll be a definite thing that happens, you know, and not just, like, years to go to Mars. I'm talking days to go to Mars, light speed, wormhole shit. Colonization of other worlds. I again, if we're smart enough not to destroy ourselves, I definitely see us going that way. You know, contact with aliens, I see that happening in my lifetime. I really do. I mean, there's already talk about it. I think I've talked about this on the show before, but just go YouTube, Paul Hellyer, Hellyer, the former Minister of Defense of Canada, and you will see a man, a former high-ranking government official, talk about how aliens exist on this world. And that's all I'm going to say. Form your own opinion about that, but I'm pretty convinced. Then again, I have a very open mind. I like to believe in the conspiratorial things. Doesn't it make life more interesting? You know, how boring is it to think all we do is go to our jobs and drive our cars and buy things and barbecue and blah, 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 on this one lonely little rock spinning in the middle of a solar system at the far end of a arm of a spiral galaxy in an infinite, ever-expanding universe? That's boring. I like to think that aliens exist, and they have been, like, if you ever watch Ancient Aliens, I love that show, because I like to believe, it's fun to believe that aliens exist, and they visited our ancestors in old times, you know, and that fuck, magic really exists, you know, to an extent. I'm not saying card tricks, but, you know, psychic abilities. I believe in that, you know. Who's to say it doesn't? Who's to say that there isn't some kind of real connection to, like, science and psychic phenomenon? And, you know, I mean, think about it. There are literal human mutations that happen, you know? Whether it's, I forgot the name of that, that affliction, Progeria? Is that what it's called? Progeria? The rapid aging thing? You know, where a kid is born and has, they look like they age, or they do have a rapid aging thing. I think it's called progeria. That's a mutation. That's a genetic mutation, you know? And people born with, a third arm or whatever, I don't know. There are genuine genetic mutations. Who's to say a psychic ability isn't a mutation of some kind? You know, I'm not talking X-Men shit. I'm not talking Dr. Xavier, Cyclops kind of shit. But I think psychic phenomenon exists, and I think it is a real thing. And I, like I said, I like to believe that. It makes existence more fun. Doesn't it? You know, it just makes it more interesting, magical. You know, a lot of people, there are things other people can do that I can't do. I'm not an athletic person. I've never been, probably never will be, you know, unless you count bowling. I can't do that, and there are plenty of people who can, and they love it. You know, whether it's sports, or hiking, or biking, or exercising, whatever. They get passion out of it. And, you know, some of these people are, you know, born into it, like their parents are this, and they have the knack for it, and the, you know, even the genetic predisposition to do it. Other people that come from a family that has no athletic prowess. Like my brother, when he was in high school and college, my brother was ripped, man. He was like built. He played volleyball. He went out playing basketball. He was athletic. He still is. No offense, bro. You're not as ripped as you used to be. But he still has that. He still has that athletic thing about him. And no one in my family, as far as my mom and my dad, have that. My dad was never an athlete. My mother, never an athlete. Obviously, I'm not an athlete. But my brother got it. He, you know, he has it. You know, me, like, performing, doing comedy, maybe, you know, being able to look at the world in a skewed way, I think that's something you're kind of born with, you know? You know, even if you take classes on how to do it to develop it, if you're good at it, it's something that you're born with. And again, it makes life interesting that there are so many different people out there with different abilities, whether they be psychic or, you know, physical or mental or whatever. I like that. I don't know how I got onto this topic. Hey, what's for dinner tonight, Flip? Random shit. But that's always what this show's about. Ah. 298 miles left. In that last little piece, we went 27 miles. Good for us. Good for us. Drinking my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Is there anything better than Dunkin' Donuts, by the way, coffee-wise? I'm sorry, Starbucks, you're cute, but nothing beats Dunkin'. And there are no Dunkin' Donuts in California. How the fuck is that possible? Or at least in Los Angeles. I'll tell you, if I had the money... Scratch that. When I have the money, I'm going to franchise a Dunkin' Donuts in Los Angeles and make so much fucking cash. I should do that now. Should get investors. I'm going to give up comedy and open up a Dunkin' Donuts. I'm officially retiring from comedy right now, guys. What happened to Flip? He opened a Dunkin' Donuts. He's brilliant. No, I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Great coffee for the road warrior, man. The road warrior. Best analogy I ever heard to describe what we do is comedian Jimmy Schubert, who was a guest on the show once, and one of the guys I used to, well, I still look up to him, but when I first started, he was like already a professional comic, and he was so fucking brilliant, so hilarious. And I used to, and he had this great expression. He goes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I travel the concrete arteries of this great nation. And I'm like, what a great analogy. Traveling the concrete arteries of this great nation. That's what the road is, man. The concrete arteries of this great nation. That's what I do, along with any of you truckers out there. I'm not sure if any truckers are listening to this. You also, my friends, are the road warriors. Yeah, you got to be pretty comfortable with yourself, I think, to be a trucker. Because, you know, yeah, you can talk on the phone or, you know, breaker 1-2, CB with somebody. But a lot of the times, you're just talking to yourself. Just got to be good with yourself. I'm usually happy with myself. Are you guys happy with yourselves? I hope so. I don't think anybody can ever be 100% happy with themselves. I mean, let's be honest. Everybody has things about them that they hate. You know, there are things about me that I definitely hate. You know, some physical, some emotional. And I'm trying to work on everything. But for the most part, I'm pretty happy with myself. I am. Pretty happy with my life. It's a good thing. Very lucky. God. We're all pretty lucky. If you're listening to this, chances are you're pretty lucky. Because chances are if you have an iPod and you're listening to this with internet because you had to download this, you're doing all right. I just saw Captain Phillips this weekend. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet. Excuse me. Really fantastic movie. Excuse me, got the hiccups. Very fantastic movie. Tom Hanks, brilliant. The whole, you know, and even though I know what happens at the end, you know, it really was like a nail biter, you know, because there were aspects of the story that I didn't know about that I'm sure they probably dramatized for the movie, whatever the case. But what really affected me was the pirates. Because, yeah, you can look at them and go, oh, man, these guys are so evil. They're kidnapping and hostages, and they got guns, and they're shooting at them. But they come that's not even that part of the world. They come from their own world, where that is how you have to do things, where the only way to survive is through violence and kidnapping and things like that, you know, and yeah, I saw the cruelty of humanity, but then you also see the desperation of humanity, and the thing is that this movie, even though it was a movie, it's still based on fact that in Somalia, sadly, there are millions of people that are suffering and that are impoverished, and not just Somalia, and so many parts of the world, that if any of us ever bitch about, oh, I didn't get that promotion, oh, why can't I have that car, oh, I only have this car, oh, man, blah, 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 I can't get the newest computer, blah, 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 blah. Stop and think about how many millions of other people have it worse than you. And then count your fucking lucky stars that you have what you have. I know I do. I really do. Fuck. I guess it's human nature to want more. Right? We're a survivalist kind of species. You know? I guess maybe that's a contradiction. Survivalist means you just need to survive. Wanting more, wanting something better is just greed, which is an awful human trait. But it's also having dreams. You know? You know what my dream is? Well, you know what? To be honest, I'm living my dream. So, you know what my next dream is? Like I said, to reach that next level of success. I want to reach a level of success to where I just don't have to worry about booking myself. You know, that's the biggest stress in my life, is just booking work. I just want to get to that next level to where somebody else does that for me. To where I don't have to constantly be on the phone or on the emails, sending out, hoping I'm not bothering the booker, you know, praying that I'm going to be getting some work coming in, and, you know, just to not worry about that anymore, to know that I got work, to know that I'll be making money, you know, and to buy a house, That's just what I want to. I want to have a house, and just I don't want to. Not that, you know, necessarily. I want to work like Caesar's Palace and, you know, amphitheaters. You know, I don't mind working clubs, but it'd be nice if I didn't have to worry about booking them, and if I could sell out a 300-seat club, you know, every time I go, that'd be nice. That's my that's my next level of success dream, to have a house that's paid for through money that I get working comedy that I don't have to book. You know, I don't want jets and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I just want steady work. I'd like to do more film work too, I won't lie. Actually, this is something very cool. Yesterday, when I was out to lunch with Dan, I get a text from a buddy of mine, Mike Pattaya, who was also a guest on the show one time, and he sent me this text saying, "Dude, I'm in New York. Last night about 4 in the morning, your movie was on MTV. Congratulations." MTV is playing 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Granted, it was at 4 in the morning, but, dude, that's fucking cool. It really is cool. And I think I mentioned this on a show before, but it was also on a movie channel. It's been playing on Movieplex. Like it was cool when the movie came out. It was in Best Buy and Target and, you know, prominently displayed the first week it was out. And it's on Amazon and iTunes, and it's a 20th Century Fox movie, so that's fucking cool. And I'm thinking, like, you know, if this is that's very cool, but now it's like being played on regular TV. It was on Netflix for a minute. Now it's on MTV and it's on Movieplex. And, you know, I know what the movie is. It's not going to be like a HBO primetime movie. It is what it is, and I'm fine with that. But the fact that it's getting some airplay, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll become this little underground, like, Sharknado kind of thing. I don't know. My point is, I would like to do more acting. That's where I feel very comfortable, is doing film. You know, like in my stand-up, I realize, like, in my stand-up, I have a lot of acting. I have a lot of what we call act-outs. Basically, that means, like, I will set up a premise or an idea and then act out the punchline. That's pretty much how my comedy is. You know, I have some just standalone jokes and wordplay and whatever, but I was thinking about, like, the act I was doing this week, and literally 90% of it is act-outs. Because that's what I'm good at, and that's what I like doing. I like creating characters and situations, and I like doing voices and accents and whatever. You know, and I like, even again, like, what's the joke that I do? When I do the Ouija board joke. If anybody's familiar with my act, you know the Ouija board joke. If you don't know it, you can go to my website or my YouTube page, and there's a joke called Ouija board. And it's a very kind of broad act out. And I kind of embodied this, like, little teenage girl character where she's playing Twister with a bunch of her friends. And when I do this joke, I, like, every time I do it, I put myself in that scenario in my head where I'm a little girl, and I'm playing, and I spin the Twister needle, and I look at my friends, and I see them getting all confused. I'm like, oh my God, you look so stupid. Every show, I have to give into that situation, into that reality, that I am living this joke and creating the situation, because I have to make the audience believe it. If they see that I'm engrossed in it and that I am completely engaged in this idea and the scenario, they will be too. That's what I want them to feel. I want them, and that's with every act out I do. You know, when I do the married guy having the marriage ghost story around the campfire, I become that character, you know? So I like acting. I think I'm pretty good at it, for the most part. There are some scenes in 30 Nights that I wish I had a chance to do over again. But the next time I do a film, I'll know what not to do because I've seen myself do it already. I'm my worst critic, but that's beside the point. I think the whole point of this podcast is just be happy. Find a way to be happy. You know? Accept certain things. You know? You're going to get older. Your body's going to start to hurt. You're going to see friends get older. Time doesn't stop. Time doesn't go back. Accept it. Make the most out of this experience we call life. And just find something that really makes you happy. Even if your job sucks, but you like painting, find time to paint. Or find time to do whatever you gotta do. Or, you know, or if you're working really hard because you need to take care of your kids, obviously your kids are what makes you happy. So make sure you every moment you can to be happy, you spend time with your kids. And just remember how lucky we are. Because as long as you have something in your life that makes you happy and you have a way to feed and clothe and shelter yourself, you're lucky. And if you're having trouble with that, don't lose faith. Because I truly believe that life is what we make it. And if we think negative, negative will happen. But if we keep a positive perspective and just know that deep down in our hearts, in our bodies, in our souls, in our guts, deep down we know that it's going to be fine. That we will succeed and we will be happy, then it will happen. Positivity, positive thoughts bring positive things. It's cliche, it's new wave, it's hippie, whatever you want to think about what I'm saying, I believe it's true. Because here's the thing, and I think I might have mentioned this before, but here's the thing. What is wrong with thinking positive? Listen, I'm a worrier. I'm the first to admit it. Allison hates that about me. I worry too much. She hates that. And she's right. Because you know what? You know what worrying is? Worrying is like thinking negative about shit that hasn't even happened. Like, if God forbid, fucking, I don't know, my car blows up, then I could worry like, oh, shit, where am I going to get a new car? How am I going to get to here when I have to be there in 5 minutes? That's a legitimate worry, okay? But driving my car now thinking, oh my God, what if my car blows up? What will I do then? That's stupid. My car didn't blow up. It's here. And I do that a lot. I worry. You know, I have money in the bank, you know, not millions of dollars, but I got money. But yet I worry. Oh man, this, what if I don't get work? How am I going to pay for the... That's stupid. Worrying is nothing but a negative thought. So instead of worrying, just think positive. Just think, hey, you know what? Things will be fine. I'm good now. I know things will be fine. I got to work for it. But things will be fine. I know I'm going to reach that level of success I've dreamed about. Hell, I already have. I already have reached that level. You know? And everything else that's coming is going to be even better. I know I'm going to have a wonderful family. I'm going to have kids soon enough. When it's time, when Allison and I are both ready, I don't need to worry about any of that. And don't you worry about anything, ladies and gentlemen. Just enjoy life. And thank you, by the way, for listening to this. Whether this is your first show or one of many, thank you guys very much. I'm going to wrap it up now. Even though I've got another 275 miles, I'm going to listen to some music. Maybe sing a little song. I think this podcast is going to be the next one going up, so I could promote some upcoming shows. Actually, the next upcoming shows, I'm doing another military tour. So November 1st through the 13th, I will be traveling through Europe, going to Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, Kosovo, and the UK. So if you happen to be in the military in any of those areas, check my website, because I might be coming to your base. And after that, I'll be in Florida for Thanksgiving with my family. So anybody in Florida, come check out my website, because I might pick up a couple of shows here and there, and I'll promote them as best I can. And then in the first week of December, I believe, first weekend, I will be at Laughs in Tucson, Arizona. Again, all of the information on my website. And don't forget, you can download all my CDs on iTunes, along with Skippy Green's CD, Lick My Balls. And thank you guys again for listening. I will see you next time. And remember, kids, stay happy, be happy, do things that make you happy. Bye-bye. What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.